going to start this series today by looking at Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to take a moment just to let you know that we are encouraging Monroe Community Church to read through the Gospel of Luke during this season leading up to Easter. And one way to help you do that is that we have broken up the passages of Luke into those 40 days, and you could either grab a brochure near the door before you leave today, and it kind of lists what the reading is for each day and also a little follow-up prayer or activity. Or if it's better for you to get it on email, I'll let Pastor Henry know, and he can make sure that you're added to the email list that comes out every morning unless we forget. So that's a little disclaimer there. But we really do encourage you to read through Luke. Our family has been doing it every morning at breakfast or at night if we forget. But it has been really good to kind of see how all those different stories tie together. And when we're looking at the tables that Jesus sits at during this month or during this time of Lent, all of those stories as well will be from the Gospel of Luke. So it will give you some context to what we're talking about. The story we're looking at today is located in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, if you have a Bible that you're going to read it from yourself. Starting in verse 27. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." This is God's word to us today. It must have been one interesting meal. Consider the host, a man named Levi. In other parts of the Bible, his name is Matthew, so you may be a little bit confused. But this man, Levi, was a tax collector. Now, in our society, a tax collector is on salary and is but one person in a whole network of people that collects your taxes. And although we might not like to pay taxes, we don't really have anything against somebody just because they work for the IRS. In the Roman Empire, however, local residents, unless they enjoyed some rare exemption, were subjected to a lot of taxes. There were, on occasion, poll taxes, road and bridge taxes, taxes on merchandise, and what we would call property taxes. The task of collecting those taxes was usually given to a very wealthy and powerful figure within a geographical area. Usually it was somebody who was not native to that area. They had moved there from another country. Now this person, in turn, divided that area into tax districts and assigned chief collectors who, in turn, used the locals to actually collect the money. As you can see, the system allowed for a lot of little extra taxes along the way, and the door to corruption was pretty wide open. In the literature from this period, including what we read in the New Testament, we know that tax collectors were very despised. So this tax collector, Levi, at his collection booth, is just sitting there minding his own business one day when Jesus walks by. We read in this Gospel of Luke before chapter 5 that this man Jesus was already causing quite a stir. He taught in these synagogues and people were amazed at his teaching. He drove out demons. He healed people, including Simon's mother who was dying from a fever, and a man who had leprosy, and somebody who was paralyzed. Well, when Jesus saw Levi, he said to him, "Hey, follow me. Follow me and be my disciple." As Pastor Henry taught us a few weeks ago, people usually clamored to be disciples of well-known rabbis. They would beg to, "Please let me follow you. Let me learn all I can from you. Let me imitate everything you say and everything that you do." And these rabbis, they were generally pretty picky about the people who they would let follow them and imitate them. For the people who followed them were generally a reflection of the rabbi himself. But here we see Jesus calling out to Levi, a despised tax collector, and saying, "Come, follow me, be my disciple." And on that day, Levi's life was transformed. Levi got up, left everything, and decided to follow Jesus. Levi, this rich man, this man who had all this power and authority, on that day, he decided to put following Jesus first in his life. He decided that following Jesus was more important than anything that he owned, any position that he held, anything that he did on from a day-to-day basis, the power, the authority that he had. Following Jesus was now first in his life. And it was a decision that stuck. When you're reading, it's kind of hard to tell, but there's actually quite a bit of time that occurs between verse 28, when Jesus says, "Come follow me," and Levi does, and verse 29, when Levi decides it's time to throw a banquet. Levi wanted to share Jesus and this wonderful man and his teachings with all of his old friends, those tax collector friends that nobody really liked. Being a tax collector wasn't just socially unacceptable. It just wasn't that, "Oh, I don't like you so much because of what you do." It was actually not acceptable in the for the religious authority either. Because the type of work that they did forced them to work with Gentiles, people who weren't really God's special people, so the Pharisees thought. The type of work that they did was dirty, it was kind of greedy, it was stealing. Plus, they were foreigners. They weren't really, you know, one of us. So these tax collectors were outcasts. And they weren't just tax collectors who were outcasts. The Pharisees saw them as sinners who were outcasts. Because the type of the work that they did made them kind of dirty. Think you know how it feels to be one of those tax collectors. I think you know how it feels to be outcast. How it feels to be in a room where you know that you just don't quite belong. Or maybe part of your in-laws' family where you feel uncomfortable. We've all struggled to fit in somewhere, haven't we? And that struggle to fit in, that desire to be wanted, to be liked, to be accepted, when it's not met, it really hurts. It hurts to feel outcast. It hurts to feel despised. Because we all have a deep down desire just to be accepted. And yet, here is Jesus sitting with tax collectors, eating together at the same table. In society at that time, just like I think in society right now, table fellowship, eating together at the same place at the same time, indicated full acceptance of one another. These outcast people, these sinful people, were accepted by Jesus. His actions spoke louder than his words. The fact that he sat at the same table as these tax collectors and ate with them meant that Jesus accepted them. Jesus, he reaches out to the outcast, to the unacceptable, to the broken, the lonely. He spends time with them. He accepts them. Which doesn't exactly make this group of Pharisees very happy. They were teachers of the religious law. They followed every detail of the law so that they would be considered clean and perfect. They would never eat with people like tax collectors, for it could ruin their status and their reputation. And they truly believed that they were keeping themselves clean, just as God would want them to. I'm not exactly sure where the Pharisees are in this picture. Are they peeking in the window? Are they standing at the door watching who goes in? Somehow, though, they are observing Jesus eating with these tax collectors, and they exclaim to Jesus' other disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Or some translations say, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and with sinners?" You might know how this feels too. How it feels when your son or daughter comes home and you find out that they've made friends with the kid in the class who comes from a really broken family. Kind of wince. Or you've been careful to avoid the coworker that you know your boss doesn't like because you don't want to be associated with them. Or you look down on your neighbor because her boyfriend just moved in with her and they're not married yet. So, how does Jesus respond? How does Jesus respond to the Pharisees who are trying to do the right thing, keep themselves religiously and pure and clean, because that's what God would want them to do? Jesus says to them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." The amazing thing in this story is that Jesus doesn't come out and say, "And you are a..." You fill the role of... He kind of leaves it to his listeners. The listeners have to decide if they are healthy or sick, if they are a saint or a sinner. And the reader is also caught and can no longer be a spectator at this banquet. Where do you belong? Are you at a table with Jesus, a tax collector, a sinner? Or are you among the critics? The reality is that none of us are completely well. We are all in need of a doctor who can heal the things in our hearts and our lives that sin has torn apart. Each one of us is represented by the tax collectors who sit at this table. We all know what it feels like to be outcast, and none of us deserve to sit in Jesus' presence. Yet, these are the people that Jesus eats with. This is who Jesus sits down with because he loves you and he accepts you just as you are. Romans 5 verse 3 tells us that Jesus loved us while we were still sinners. And because of that love, God sent Jesus to us. He sent him to sit with those sinners, to sit with the outcast, to show his love and acceptance in person before he went to the cross, where he carried the sins of all of those people as a sacrifice. Jesus came to heal the sick. He came to call sinners to repentance. And Jesus' tools for healing were not found in prescription bottles, things that we can find from an MD here in town. up. His tools for healing came in the form of bread and wine. Because in a little while, we'll hear about Jesus sitting down at a table with his disciples. A table before he made his way to the cross. Where he took the bread and he said, "Friends, this bread represents my body, which will be broken for you. And I want you to remember that, so I want you to take some and eat it. And remember me. Remember the sacrifice that I made because I love you." And then Jesus took the wine. And he said, "This wine is representative of my blood, the blood that I will pour out for you for the forgiveness of all of those sins, the things that make you outcast, the things that make you not able to sit in God's presence, the things that break your hearts and lives. This wine represents the blood that is poured out for you. Drink this and remember me." The great verse, a tiny little verse in Revelation 3, verse 20, it says this: "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door and I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." God says that to you today. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door and I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." Jesus accepts you just as you are. He will join you at the table at your invitation. If you've ever longed to be included, to be accepted, to be truly loved, then open the door to your heart today. Invite Jesus in. Invite him into your heart, into your life. He wants to spend time with you. And he wants to forgive the sin that has made you outcast.